Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport on day three of the Wimbledon Championships 2017. David and I are back in our homeland at the heart of the press area here at Wimbledon. It's where we like to stand so that we can doorstop people as they walk by, so that we can tell you what players are walking past, we can hear all the announcements, we can basically just be pests around the place.
So it's a personal speciality of mine.
Opportunistic pests.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm all over that. Talking of pests, they've been flying around today, haven't they?
It's been Flying Ant Day at Wimbledon. And I don't think... I always note when Flying Ant Day is. It's like I always note when the first, like, proper hot day is of the year. The first day when it's over 20 degrees and sunny in the UK. And that's a real marker, a real benchmark for me. Flying Ant Day, I don't think it's ever been during Wimbledon before. And I think it's because... We're moved a week later this year. David Law didn't know what Flying Ant Day was.
No, now I'm all over it.
I was very confused by hashtag Flying Ant Day. It's a really big deal. Basically, it means you can't properly enjoy being outside because there are flying ants everywhere.
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, if I was playing a tennis match today, it'd be almost like, you know, you've got a few friends, pets.
It was quite an issue for the umpires and line judges and ball boys, and I'm sure for everybody sat on Henman Hill as well, because I mean they really are unpleasant. They don't bite or anything, but they are just deeply unpleasant.
I think that's really cruel. I think they're all right
then. Well, you'll have to wait another year to see them again. Sorry, David. Okay. I think they're like mayflies. They only live for a day.
Do they?
Certainly they disappear after today. They all go and hang out somewhere together. But
or do they not become like normal ants who just sort of wander about?
No, I think they're like Transformers. They become flying ants and then... This is supposed to happen. It's supposed to deteriorate like this at the end of the podcast, David, when everyone's fallen asleep or tuned out. We're not supposed to descend into flying ant talk this early.
It's an integral part of the day's tennis, though, today, isn't it? Anyway, enough of that. What happened on court?
What happened on court? Well, where do we start? Real contrast to yesterday. Today, it's all about the tennis, isn't it? Really fantastic matches we've had. Starting off first and foremost, surely we have to, with Joe Konta against Donna Vekic. 10-8 in the third, 3 hours and 8 minutes on court, I think. You said after that match, this could be the making of Joe Konta. And not necessarily the making of her generally, because she's already made, but the making of her here at Wimbledon, in the eyes of the British public.
That was the sort of match that sends you beyond just being a tennis player that people within tennis circles know and tennis fans know. I'm sure, everybody who listens to the Tennis Podcast obviously loves the sport and wants to know about what goes on and will have heard us banging on about her for the last 2 years. The wider British public, I think, would have heard a name or seen it in a paper or heard about her on a sports bulletin or whatever it might have been. They might have seen the odd appearance that she's made on things like Jonathan Ross and various other shows like that. But she's not had a Wimbledon moment. And what I mean by that is one where she has been involved in an epic where the chances of her going out are quite significant and yet pulls through it in a 3 hour match like that. That's what happened to her today. It got to a point where it was mid to late afternoon. There would have been a lot of people watching that, hearing fifth seed Joe Konta with GBR next to her name, thinking, crikey, that was cool, and I'm going to follow her progress from here.
She's hard as nails, isn't she? Because it was so clear that her right arm felt like lead during the latter stages of that match. It was written all over her face. It was written in every one of her shots. I mean, that was tough. She was pretty much going on instinct at the end there. We were watching it in the Five Live green room. It was very clear that Donna Vekic was the looser of the two. And we were all sort of waiting for Vekic, the less experienced player, on that sort of stage to crumble. She didn't do any crumbling, yes. Konta won through in the end, but it wasn't because Vekic flaked away. I was very impressed by her today. And Konta, just hard as nails. She's gnarly. I love it.
Yeah, she is. And she didn't flake away, you're right. Certainly mentally, Vekic was in there till the end. Her talent was there for all to see. My goodness, what a difficult player she is when she plays as she can. That's what we have discovered in her win in Nottingham over Jo Konta. That's what we were reminded of again today. However, what I do feel is that we saw the athleticism, the incredible physical specimen that is Jo Konta today. Not just the mental strength of her, but the fact that she trusted in her own body to outlast Donna Vekic. That's what happened in the end. She broke her down, I felt. Right at the end, Vekic couldn't quite hold her level, and I don't feel that was a mental letdown as much as physically. Konta is just a machine.
Yeah, she is a machine, and to think that a few years ago that we would have been saying that about her is extraordinary. Caroline Garcia has just walked past her. She won today, didn't she?
Did she?
She looks very happy.
I hope she did.
She looked very happy, so I think so.
Have you ever done one of those interviews where you interview someone and you don't know actually whether they won or lost, and then you sort of ask one of those really open questions and sort of hope that they tell you what the result was?
I've seen it happen in press conferences with less open questions and it not go particularly well.
Yeah, well, we just had the announcement that Marcus Willis and Jay Clark have just been brought into press. They won from two sets to love down to win in five, so they've won in the doubles.
And they've got second headline, sub-headline billing on the Tennis Podcast. We haven't talked about any other results today besides Jo Konta.
Well, we were gate-crashed by the woman who announces the players. You know.
We were. Should we talk about the other things that have happened today? Should we stick with the women's for a while, or should we do it by court?
You do it as ever you like, Catherine.
Well, I have watched Venus Williams guts her way through on court one today. I don't know how she fought her way out of that battle with Qian Wang. Qian Wang, a great player, really solid, really gutsy, lovely striker of the ball, but doesn't have the weapons to hurt Venus Williams on grass. Venus Williams is clearly struggling to maintain her focus, to get fired up. You know, her box were willing her on throughout that match. She had patches where she got fired up, and then obviously she just couldn't stay dialed in, which is what was necessary. And somehow she found something within her to fight through that match. You know, every time you thought she was in the ascendancy, she got the yips on serve and she started spraying forehands about 8 feet wide. And yet somehow she won through 6-1 in the third. It was not as easy as that deciding set scoreline let on. She was in a fight today, and she now, with Petra Kvitova going out, something we will dwell on, David, because she was your pick for the title, is the only former champion left in the women's draw.
Yeah, she is. Venus Williams, the only former champion left. And, no, I thought she did what she needed to do, but it's going to take a heck of an effort for her to come through this draw. I don't see it in the mental condition that I suspect she's in right now. I mean, I'm only sort of guessing, but I just can't see it. Petra Kvitova, well, she struggled physically at the end of her match today against Madison Brengel, who, as anybody who listened last night will know, held a quali with Catherine Whittaker some months ago. So maybe that was the inspiration.
It's becoming a bigger and bigger name drop by the day, that, isn't it? The fact that I held a... Well, not held a koala. I don't want to be arrested by Victorian authorities.
Because it's not allowed.
Because it's not allowed. I did not hold that koala, as first stated. I touched the koala with Madison Brengel.
Yeah, stroked his
simultaneously.
Head. There we go.
And Madison Brengel is now into the third round of Wimbledon for the first time, having beaten two-time champion Petra Kvitova. I don't think Kvitova's come into press yet. I don't think we've heard her explanation of what was going on physically, because it didn't look like it was an issue with the hand. She was having her blood pressure taken. She was having her heart rate monitored. It looked more like, I don't know, illness or... illness than injury.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it was incredibly hot today. She hasn't played that much of late. This is all a bit new. I mean, maybe the occasion also got to her. Who knows? I mean, as you say, she hasn't been in just yet. Look, hands up. I was wrong. I thought she'd come all the way through and win the title, given the form she'd showed in Birmingham, but she was not that player today.
She wasn't, and I'm really pleased with Madison Brengel. She's a very understated, underrated player, but in terms of the story, I know we're biased in the media because we love a story to talk about, but who wouldn't have enjoyed seeing Petra Kvitova win Wimbledon this year? I'm sure she will win another Wimbledon, and it will be an immensely emotional thing, because whatever happens now in her career, she has come back from the most extraordinarily huge and horrible challenge, I think, that anyone's facing at the moment in tennis, really. So it's not about today, it's about the bigger picture, but it's a shame.
Yeah, well, she was very clear in your pre-tournament interview that she feels she's already triumphed. This is her second career. She can't quite believe she's managed to make it back out there. And I actually believe her that she wants to win tennis matches, but she's just enjoying playing tennis. So,
and she's enjoying leaving your predictions in tatters, David, as am I.
Yeah.
Marin Cilic won today.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He gave you a few hot palpitations at the start.
No problems at all with Marin Cilic's form. Perfectly happy with the serene manner in which he dispatched Florian Mayer.
Unfortunately, the man that you're predicting that he will beat in the semi-finals, Rafael Nadal, was also pretty... Well, actually, there was nothing serene about him. His progress was serene, but in terms of the way he was playing, it was... it was terrifying.
I know, he looks fitter than a butcher's dog, doesn't he? He looks like he's been chained up eating raw meat ever since the French Open.
It's brutal. It's brutal what he's doing to his opponents. Poor Donald Young, who puts his... I don't know whether it's him that's doing it or whether it's just one of those self-perpetuating errors on the ATP World Tour, but the notes and the websites and everything list him as 6 foot always and have done throughout his career. He is not 6 foot tall. He is not 6 foot tall. He is at best 5 foot nine, which is a perfectly respectable height.
How do you know this? Have you had your tape measure out next to Donald Young?
I've seen him stand next to 6 foot tall players and look approximately 3 inches shorter.
How do you know that they're not 6'3"? How do you know?
So you're suggesting all other heights in the notes are wrong and Donald Young's is the one that's right?
Anything is possible. I want to take Donald Young to one of those shops where you've got the little sort of giraffe with the measurements next to it that kids stand next to. See if we can get one that's 6 foot tall.
I'm sure that's a feature he'd be delighted to take part in. Donald Young, we don't believe you're 6 foot tall. We'd like to take you to a kid's shop to measure you on some kind of giraffe-based...
Height chart,
great. Anyway.
You started it.
The debate is over here, David. He is not 6 foot tall, and he looked every inch is 5 foot nine against the beast like Rafael
Nadal
today.
Poll vault. Is Donald Young 6 foot tall?
I think I'm being generous with 5 foot nine.
Yes or no? I'm running that tonight. Right, move on.
Anyway, Rafael Nadal looks imperious, is
very
the bottom
good.
Line.
But I mean, from a Marin Cilic perspective, it's not over yet, and there's still a long way to go before that clash happens. Rafael Nadal, he does look brilliant, and he looks scarily good, and who knows? I mean, it's going to take some stop. If he carries on playing like this, it is going to take something seriously good to stop Rafael Nadal. Anybody.
Yeah, I agree. Even Roger Federer.
Even Djokovic.
That form today made me quiver
whatever.
In my boots a bit with my prediction of Federer to beat him.
It is the
intensity,
isn't it? It's the intensity that is going about his work, not just the way he's hitting the ball. You look at him, and it is almost... a little scary to watch.
Yeah, it's mesmerising.
It's intimidating.
Yeah, it is completely mesmerising. What did you make of the form of Andy Murray today? You commentated on that match for Five Live.
Very good.
I'm impressed. Yeah. He's really exceeding my expectations.
He looked like Andy Murray today.
Yeah, he did. He did what we expected him to do, to be fair, against Dustin Brown.
Yes, he
did. In terms of how the stars match up, in terms of how Murray enjoys showing up these showboaters.
He loved it. He absolutely loved it. And Andy Murray's much more of a show-off than people think. He might not do it with a big smile on his face the way that Dustin Brown does, but his eyes light up.
He's a straight-faced show-off, poker-faced show-off.
His eyes light up at the opportunity either to make a crack in an interview with a straight face or to hit the most absurd-looking passing shot on the run. Which he did a number of times today, or to drop shot the guy who's just tried to drop shot him. you know, he loves to be a bit of a peacock, but quietly.
Peacock. Yeah. Speaking of which, Caroline Gossier has just walked past us again in the opposite direction. She thinks she's just loitering around in hopes that we'll invite her on.
Yeah, well,
she's not been very subtle about it.
Forget
is she?
It, forget it, Caroline. All right.
Have there been any other?
I don't mean that.
Results
Caroline.
Of note. Yes, there have. Heather Watson, 6-love, 6-4 against Anastasia Sevastova. I didn't see that coming.
Wasn't it 6-love, 6-4?
Did I not say 6-love, 6-4?
I think you said 6-1, 6-4.
My head was saying 6-love, 6-4.
Yeah,
and
well.
my mouth didn't.
Anyway,
didn't play
it was
ball.
Emphatic, wasn't it? Extraordinary win for Heather Watson. On paper, at least. She went. And I also think because she went 6-love, 1-love up, with I think, with a break. And then she went 3-1 down.
Yeah, and we all went, uh-oh.
Yeah, but that is a cracking win.
I Heather Watson, an apology, because I thought that I saw the scoreline, 6-love, and I thought Sevastova must have been injured.
Yeah.
I was looking on Twitter to see if there are any reports of Sevastova being injured, and it wasn't that. Heather Watson was just great.
She was superb. That's up there with as well as I've seen her play. And now
and
she
gets... It's come out of nowhere. It's come out of absolutely nowhere. She was down and out. She was written off. She was being criticised for lack of motivation. Incidentally, she had an interesting comment to make on the subject of Bernard Tomic. Perhaps not in defence of Tomic yesterday, but more in sympathy. She said, I get that. She said, I don't feel motivated every week. You can't magic motivation out of nowhere. We're not all machines.
Well, I interviewed her after her first round match for Five Live, and I said, you know, you do seem to produce your best stuff here. And is it sometimes the case, week to week, that it's not that easy to feel the way you feel here? And she said, yeah, it is. I can't help but be excited to be here. I'm just so chuffed to be on the court. And, yeah, I think we're so quick to make judgments on players' motivation levels, their excitement levels, how nice it is to be a tennis player, because it is, on paper. I mean, look, if you do well, if you get inside the top 100, you get paid lots, you get these nice hotels, you get shipped around the place. But that's not for everybody. And maybe some of these players... They either need to manage their time differently so that they don't have to feel like they're on that treadmill all the time, or maybe they have to do something else or have a big break. I don't like the idea that it should be one size fits all and that all players should react the same to being a tennis player.
I agree with you, but then we were giving Bernard Tomic an awfully hard time yesterday. So how does that fit in?
Not necessarily that hard time. I think there's an understanding about that. The problem with him is that it's difficult to know where to draw the line, because some of his things he says in public, it's just not on. It's just not on.
But is it the fact that he says it in public and others don't? I don't know. I agree with you. Tomic wasn't on yesterday. I don't want to reverse my position and now defend him. I'm just saying it does seem like there are grey areas there. There are real grey areas. And if it hadn't been for Tomic saying the thing he did about taking the tactical injury timeout just to mix things up, which is, for me, a clear violation of the rules or a clear abuse of the rules, that's the only sort of clear area where he brought the game into disrepute. If he hadn't confessed to that, would we be looking at it in a perhaps more sympathetic light? I don't know. Look, I seem to be talking myself into a defence of Bernard Tomic, which is not what I intended to do. I was immensely disappointed in what he said yesterday, and I agree with everything Pat Cash said on the BBC One, BBC Two highlights show last night with Claire Balding, saying it's just a total disrespect to the game, to every one of the punters that paid to be in the stands to watch him and Misha Zverev play. It's a disrespect to Misha Zverev. Anyway, this is yesterday's action. I'm talking myself around in circles here. I think the point is made. Heather Watson will now play Victoria Azarenka.
That's
there will
a good
be
one,
no
it?
Lack of motivation no. anywhere there. Will
That's going to be high octane stuff. That should be centre court, shouldn't it? That should
be
a centre court match. I would think.
What could bump that off centre court? What's there going to be? There's going to be Venus Williams, Naomi Osaka. I'd like to see that on centre. But alas, they only allow one women's match ever on centre in the first week.
Is also going to be playing that day. So this is my
Venus
point.
Hasn't been on centre court yet.
So why should there... Maybe there should be two women's matches. Well, there should be.
Of course there should be.
There should be two women's matches every
other
day.
It certainly shouldn't be a hard and fast rule that there will only ever be one, which is what it seems to be.
Just put four matches on.
Yeah, but they like the stadiums to be full, don't they? They like to do things their own way. There was actually a very good article in The Guardian by Hannah Wilkes about this. You know, Wimbledon made a statement saying they pride themselves on having full courts, full show courts, and that is why they start play later, so that they don't have an empty stadia at the start with people having a leisurely lunch, which, to be fair, is something that the French Federation get criticised for big time in Paris, with Philippe Chatrier Court often being pretty much completely empty at the start of play. But I think that's sort of a limp excuse for what is basically completely sexist scheduling. Well, it might not be motivated by sexism, but it is. Well, the facts of the matter are, it is.
I think one of the problems is that the men's game is best of five and the women's game is best of three, and actually time-wise, if you look at it, two best of five set matches and one best of three set match probably fits into a time block.
Yeah, fine. So make some sacrifices in the name of equality. Start play earlier.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, certainly in terms of that. But I don't think there's a problem with adding an extra match anyway.
No, me neither. Absolutely not. Actually, close the roof, add an extra match.
Today,
everyone's a winner.
On court number one, there were two women's matches and a men's match. You've just finished.
Yeah, but they never do that on centre.
No, well, okay, maybe they will this week. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe they will.
I don't remember them doing that too much on court one.
Okay, so what are we going to have? We're going to have Murray against Fognini. We're going to have Rafa against who?
Not necessarily Rafa. I mean, he might play court one.
No. I mean, the matches that we're going to have in 2 days' time, yes. The scheduling decisions they're going to have to make. Who will Nadal play? Sorry, I'm putting you right on the spot.
Can't
here.
Remember.
I'm going to look up the draws. There'll be Murray against Fognini. There'll be Nadal against somebody that I'm about to look up. There'll be Venus Williams against Naomi Osaka. There'll be Heather Watson against Victoria Azarenka. And there'll be Joe Konta against...
Can't remember. It's going well.
Okay, well, I look up who those two people are playing. You tell me who you'd put on centre court, assuming that it's going to be two men's and one women's, because it is going to be, ain't changing anytime soon.
I would put Heather Watson against Victoria Azarenka. I think it's a cracking match. I think Watson has played brilliantly in the first two rounds. I think Victoria Azarenka is a returning top player, former world number one. I think that is an absolutely cracking match that everybody wants to see, and I think it absolutely deserves top billing. I would be curious to see who the other two players
Khachanov.
Are playing. Khachanov against...
Nadal plays Khachanov.
Oh, right, that's interesting. That's quite a good match. I think
which
that's a court one match.
Which on the other tennis podcast, which shall not be named, think could be an interesting match and Khachanov could challenge Nadal. And this isn't just because they're part of a rival podcast. I completely disagree. I really think Raf is going to eat yet another opponent for breakfast.
The other podcast is called No Challenges Remain.
Oh, David.
And I also disagree. But, you know, that's the beauty of it.
Okay, we can name this as long as we disagree. Just keep talking, David, because I'm just looking up who Joe Konta plays in the next round.
Andy Murray against Fabio Fognini really interests me, incidentally, because their record is three wins apiece. And all three wins that Fabio Fognini has against Andy Murray have been in straight sets. He thrashed him on clay in Rome. And I've just been into Andy Murray's press comments, and I found it quite interesting hearing him talk about Fognini. My goodness, he rates Fognini. He says the guy can basically hurt you from everywhere on the court. And that, if Fanini's interested, incidentally, Fognini did an interview live on 5 Live. What a charming guy he was when he was on form in that particular interview. And if I don't know what his grass court game is like, I've never seen him play on it, but that could be a really cracking match, that. And
certainly
Andy Murray could
be
in trouble.
Joe Konta plays Maria Sakkari of Greece, who came through 6-4 in the third against Kristina Pliskova. Sakkari coached here. I don't know how long-term the arrangement is or how formal, but she's been coached here by Mark Pecci.
Yeah, that's an interesting element to it, isn't it? Mark Pecci, who's commentating as well, I think, for the BBC. That'd be very interesting.
I think we're going to agree on this. I think with those matches, obviously there's others as well, but those are
who
the standouts.
Who was Venus Williams playing?
She plays Naomi Osaka. I love look at that match. I think what you've got is Murray, Fognini, Watson, Azarenka, and Nadal, Khachanov on centre. And then I think you've got Venus Williams against Naomi Osaka, Joe Konta against Maria Sakkari, and one other men's match TBC on number one court.
I'm tempted to put Joe Konta, Heather Watson against Victoria Azarenka, Andy Murray and Venus Williams on centre court.
Yeah, I'd love that, but they're not doing that.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
I'm predicting. I'm not saying what I'd do.
Okay, well, maybe it'll happen. We'll see.
Well,
all to come.
Maybe the organisers will listen to the tennis podcast and realise that we should basically just be in charge of all of tennis.
That's really
likely, I
think.
We've covered off the key points from today. If we've missed anyone else off, we always get told if we miss someone, don't we? And we try and make up for it the next day.
Lots of Brits
or we try and make up for it when we're looking ahead to their next match. We do try and make up for it. Have I missed any Brits that won today? I don't think
no,
I have.
No, you got all three of them.
Bedene won.
Oh, yes.
I have missed one.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Aliash Bedene won. Did Luca Puy win? He was in trouble.
Oh, now he was two sets to love down, wasn't he? And he was against a big
Jerzyanovic.
Jerzyanovic won that match. He did
right
go
then.
Through.
So Luca Puy's gone. He continues to disappoint me. I think he's great. Why can't he start doing better? Sorry, Luca, but...
You've disappointed Catherine Whittaker. That's far more important than losing at Wimbledon.
And Aliash Bedene was great. There are a couple of very quick talking points I want
Damir
to cover
Juma,
that we're going to get in trouble for on Twitter if we don't cover. Number one, Daniil Medvedev.
Oh, yeah.
And his behaviour.
He had a big fallout, didn't he?
He had a big old fallout. He lost to Ruben Bemelmans in five sets. He was two sets love down. Came back and levelled it at two sets all. He was a breakup in the fifth, ended up losing, threw some coins onto the court, and then in press afterwards said he regretted his behaviour but tried to blame it on the fact that it was hot.
Yeah, I mean, it did...
he said, I shouldn't have done that, but it was really hot.
If anything, it seemed like the whole occasion. And, I mean, he's been in trouble before, hasn't he? He seems such a mild-mannered guy off the court.
Yeah, but his hero's Marit Safin,
right. Well, seriously, it's like the guy... just sees red mist, and it was a hot, steamy day today. It was not going well. Frankly, he lost the plot out there, and he admitted it afterwards. He said, I don't know why that happened, but it happened. I'm sorry about it, but yeah, he seemed at a loss.
To be fair,
really.
He did apologise, and he did say he'd be looking for the umpire who I can't quite... It was a female umpire. I can't quite remember who it was, but he did say he'd be looking for her to apologise. He did have quite a go at her. There were five overalls that went against him, and he took massive issue with that. There was no Hawkeye on the court that he was on. Took issue with that and ended up, in the moment of defeat, throwing some coins onto the court. We don't know what that means. We think that maybe in Russia that's some sort of sign of immense disgust or anger, but
well, he was at pains to say it didn't mean anything specific, because I think certain people were reading certain things into it that could be particularly grave accusations. So we won't go into.
Oh, I genuinely haven't read any of those. I just was thinking, why coins rather than anything else? Why use the effort of digging some coins out?
Yeah.
It's already bad enough. You've lost in five sets without throwing your money away.
Not his greatest moment.
Not his greatest moment. Just one final talking point from today's matches before we move on to a couple of other things. Joe Conte's loo break.
Yeah, that was about 8 minutes.
In between the second and the third sets, we'll be accused of British bias if we don't cover this. What's your position on it?
Well, I don't like it. And I feel, it would appear that she's allowed to do it. Lots of players do it. It happens. I don't particularly like it. I really don't, and we've been talking about Bernard Tomic, and I'm certainly not trying to level the same accusation at her. She needed to go to the loo. She needed to maybe change the dress. It was 3 hours.
She did
match.
Change the dress.
Yeah,
she came back on clutching.
I get all that, but I do feel that they basically need to say, right, you know, oh, you're off to the loo. Okay, stopwatch on. This is how long you got. Get back here.
But hang on a second. There are extenuating circumstances. There can be. What if she had a period, for example? That's something that no one will ever say in broadcasting. But what if she had a period? You probably need a bit more time to do whatever you've got to do in that sort of situation.
Well, you tell me. I don't know.
I'm not sure it's as simple as just saying 2 minutes, do your business. That doesn't feel right to me. I agree.
Did it feel right today?
No, what happened today didn't feel right to me. It didn't. But I don't have a solution, because I don't think a stopwatch is the solution. I don't have one. I'm sorry. Please... If you've got some suggestions, then let me know. I agree there is an issue. I just haven't heard a realistic or comfortable solution yet.
No, I'm afraid I can't provide you one either, because you make a valid point.
Should we move on then?
Do.
Should we talk a little bit about IBM Watson again, very, very quickly,
sure,
David? Because today, IBM Watson, I only do this because I like to say the words artificial intelligence platform.
You've been saying it just off air regularly throughout the day, haven't you? I mean, I've noticed that's
it's this
cropping
artificial
up in your vocabulary.
Intelligence platform that the Telegraph have enlisted to help them gather immense quantities of data and analyse them to help gain an insight into tennis. And today, the data is on the subject of pressure and players, how relatively they deal with pressure. And this is measured in how many tie breaks they played. Essentially, the bottom line is how well they play the big points. And the big points are considered to be match points, set points, break points. I mean, the big points, essentially. Yeah. Jamie Murray did an article about it in the Telegraph today, as he is on all of these debate points that Watson, IBM Watson, is throwing up. His feeling is that Rafael Nadal is the best pressure player in the game at the moment. Discuss, David Law.
Well, another one of the factors that is measured is break points saved. And I think that's a good one. Pete Sampras is way out in front on that. And you can understand why. But, I mean, not only does he have a huge serve, or did he have a huge serve, his ability to deliver it second serve and just not get broken was second to none throughout his career. I do feel I can, you know, look at that one. But then
current players, because I would agree with you.
Well, Federer's second.
Pete Sampras is who came to mind for me, because my sort of abiding memories of Pete Sampras were that a player could play the match of their life against him, scrap for a whole set to get one break point, and then an ace comes down and it's over, and they're heartbroken, and there it is. And he would do that time after time after time.
But then you look sort of anecdotally at Pete Sampras's career. I don't feel as though you could highlight a moment in his career that, say, is an equivalent of what Andy Murray had to put up with here at Wimbledon 4 years ago, when he became the first British man to win Wimbledon in 77 years. Coming out to serve for the title and to end that period of history and Fred Perry and all that. Maybe he needs to be looked at as somebody who handles pressure because of the sheer weight of it on his shoulders in this particular country. It's not, I mean, Pete Sampras had a slam of his own in the United States, so he's an American player, but he won the US Open almost before life became stressful for him. He won it at the age of 19 when he won the US Open. So
there's got to be a big shout for Serena Williams, hasn't there?
Yeah, huge. Absolutely.
I know she's not here, but I think she still counts as an active player. She's not retired.
Oh, she's very much an active player. What about Martina Navratilova?
Well, yeah.
How many titles
does
she
win? It's more difficult for the women because they don't have the enormous serve to run. It's all. I was thinking about Pete Sampras, and then I thought, well, it's an awful lot easier to save a break point if you've got that big serve to rely on, especially mentally. It must be so reassuring to know that you're probably 50-50 guaranteed a cheap point if you are staring down the barrel of a big point. So it's an awful lot easier for the men, I think, and the men that have a big serve. So I think there has to be a big shout for Serena Williams. Although, having said that, she has one of the biggest serves on the women's tour, so that kind of helps too.
This one, I really feel strongly about this one. Mr. Resilience, Novak Djokovic, who won some of his Grand Slam finals when in an atmosphere that was so for his opponent. And I'm thinking particularly when he played against Federer in the US Open final, I think, of 2015, and when he won the title 2 years in a row here. The sheer love and adulation and the desperation for a crowd to watch Roger Federer win another Grand Slam title. How lonely must that have felt for Novak Djokovic? I have no idea what it would have been like to be in his skin. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. I've said, how does he not explode and say to them, just leave me
and
alone?
I wish
you
would. I wish you would. I know it's impressive that he doesn't, but we won't go into it now because we have discussed it so many times. But yeah, I agree with you, and it would be heartwarming in a way.
But why should he? He won the title. He won all three of those finals. He withstood that pressure. He said to them, all right, 23,000 of you inside the Arthur Ashe Stadium and Roger Federer, one of the most talented players who's ever lifted a racket in his life. I'm going to take you all on. I'm going to beat you. I can handle the pressure.
I agree with you. All I'm saying is we're now just listing all of the greatest players of all time.
It's good, isn't
it? And, of course, one of the main components of that is that they're very good at handling pressure.
Yeah.
If you want to have your say, it's hashtag What Makes Great. If you want to have a look at the raw data, which I'm almost certain my brother does. In fact, I know he's been looking at it all week. He loves nothing more than data. IBM Watson.
We've got a new name for him,
right,
haven't we?
Up his alley. Yeah, Nerdy Math. It's
Nerdy
his
Math.
The favourite nickname he's ever had.
Awesome. I had to check I had to ask him through you whether we were actually
and
allowed to call him that, didn't I?
Reassured you that he would consider that the most immense compliment, and he does, don't
Nerdy
you worry.
Nerdy Math it is.
Nerdy Math will be going to ibm.com/Wimbledon to check out the data. The Telegraph are doing all sorts of articles to analyse the data themselves. You might not agree. I think we disagree quite a lot of the time, don't we? But that's the whole point of it, really, isn't it? To throw up debate about hashtag what makes great.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Should we have a little look at the order of play for tomorrow, David?
Go on, then.
Well, I was hoping you'd say a few more words while I unravel the bit of paper that I'm clutching hand, which has the order of play on it.
Yeah, I do. Well, you unravel that. What I do know is that centre court starts with a British player, and that British player is Kyle Edmund. I don't think he's ever been on the centre court.
He hasn't, and it's a great match, Edmund Monfils. I'm not sure they've done him that many favours by putting him on centre court.
Oh, he'll be
all
right. I think he'll be great. Yeah, I think he'll play well. I really do. I think he's got a chance of winning.
On another court, I would have thought he'd have had a chance of winning. But
I'm
just a bit nervous for him on centre court.
I think he's
really
good on centre court.
I hope you're right. He just looks stressed to me at this tournament.
I know what you mean. Look, he's had some upheaval. I think he's changed coaches, hasn't he?
Yes.
He's no longer with Ryan Jones.
Between coaches,
yeah. But I feel that he is going to come out onto centre court, kind of not got too much to lose. I mean, he's the underdog in that match. Don't forget how hard this guy hits the ball, how good his forehand is, how simple his game is in many ways in terms of this is what I do, deal with it. Grass is not his greatest service, I don't think.
He doesn't think the ball to sit up.
But I would be hopeful that he'll put on a really good performance.
I am too. He's followed on to centre court by Karolina Pliskova against Magdalena Rybarikova. Pliskova's winning the title, so she's definitely winning that match. And then we've got Federer against Lajovic, and I think that could be an eating again.
You're that sure about Pliskova?
Pretty sure, yeah. You've got no leg to stand on, so don't challenge me, David. Lajovic, eaten for breakfast. Federer.
Keiko Vandeweghe has still got a chance.
Anyway. What do you mean still? An hour and a half ago, when Kvitova lost.
Because Kvitova is out, effectively Vandeweghe steps in as my new favourite.
Lajovic, breakfast, Federer.
Yeah.
Court number one, Pavlicek, Djokovic, breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast.
Dominic Thiem, Gilles Simon.
Oh, that's
I like
good.
It.
That's a good one.
I don't know which way that's going. Simon's not had a great year, but Thiem doesn't look that comfortable on the grass. Impressive yesterday against Pospisil.
Yeah, he did well against Pospisil.
I was disappointed in the Pospisil challenge, though. And then Angelique Kerber against Kirsten Flipkins. Upset alert.
Every
former
time
junior
Kerber
champion
plays,
Flipkins.
I think we need to give
is
the woman
even
a bit
an
more
upset?
Credit. I think Kerber
no,
is going to...
I'm mostly saying that because Kirsten Flipkins is a semi-finalist here. She's a junior champion. She knows what she's doing.
I think that Kerber's just starting to get it together a little bit.
Okie doke. Court number two, Dimitrov Bagdatis. Ooh.
I want to go and watch that.
I would have put that on centre.
Do not disturb David Law for the first 2 hours of the
day. I would have put it on centre, or at least court number one, but there you go. Radvanska Mikhail. Radvanska was good yesterday. I watched her against, I can't remember who, Onstrabur. No, it was Kuznetsova against Onstrabur. They're all blending into one.
Katie Bolter was against Kristin Mikhail.
Very good. Raonic Yuzhny. I think Raonic is going to be okay. Wozniacki Peronkova. Peronkova, like a sort of weird grass court specialist.
Yeah, that she's capable.
Pops up once a year and.
And Wozniacki's
does
never.
Damage.
Wozniacki's never reached the quarterfinals.
Elsewhere, David Law's quarterfinal pick, Makarova, takes on countrywoman Kuznetsova Del Potro Gulbis.
Ooh,
Gulbis thinks he's winning that. I saw some great quotes from him earlier.
Does he?
Yeah. I don't think he is, but anyway. Muguruza Wickmeyer. I think Muguruza's got that. TFO Zverev, hashtag next gen.
Yeah, people are starting to tire of us saying that.
I know.
I don't care. Hashtag next gen.
If you're tired of us saying it, I don't know what you think about the ATP World Tour website. Dudi Seller, John Isner. Isner's coming through that. Burdick Harrison.
Oh, no. Can we just get a photo at the net between Dudi Seller and John
please.
Isner?
Yes, please. Christina Kucheva, Tamir Bashinsky, Shelby Rogers, Lucy Safarova. I'm not going to go through them all because we're still in the second round and there are so many matches. There's doubles happening. Murray Suarez. Oh, my last bit of business. Jamie Murray is playing mixed doubles with Martina Hingis.
Well, that's good.
It is good, isn't it?
I think that's really cool. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, interesting. Love it. That was your Day 3 Tennis Podcast from Wimbledon. We'll be back tomorrow, of course. I've been Catherine Whittaker. He's been David Law.
Telegraph
We're both working for BBC Radio 5 Live. I haven't finished yet, David.
All right, get on with it then.
Ye of little face. We're brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. Speak to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.